warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, the Raise Your Glass. I am Adam Minahan, and today is going to be a really great day for everybody because we're doing a lot of firsts on the Catholic Man Show. First of all, my buddy Dave, co-host, best friend, is not here today.
Yay!
So you won't have your weekly dose of humility. But he and his wife is actually in labor at this moment, yeah. And so we made sure that he was not here. So, so he is about to be another dad once again to either a little boy or a little girl. But that is not the only thing. We are in a makeshift studio here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My buddies from Blueprint Advertising let us borrow their setup, and so we're video recording our very first Catholic Man Show. So that's another thing that we're doing. But another thing, man, boom, boom, boom. Third thing, one, two, three. I have a good friend of mine, Mr. Michael Miley, to join me today. And he is the drummer of Rival Sons, diehard Catholic, friend of both of our Patrick Coffin. And I'm just pumped to have him along. It's great to have you, bud.
Thanks for having me. It's quite an honor. Hearing the intro music there, I was having flashbacks to my sauna in back in Estonia because I listened to you guys' show while I'm sweating in the sauna in -3 Celsius, snowing outside. So yeah, it's an honor to be here, man.
Yeah, dude. It worked out perfect because Patrick introduced us to each other, connected some dots, mm-hmm. And then you reached out to me and said, "Well, are you guys in Tulsa?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, we're in Tulsa." And he said, "Well, our first concert is going to be in Tulsa."
Yep.
And
yep.
So it just worked out. It was so cool that you're here, and had time to hang out with me.
We should probably mention I just got off a plane from mm-hmm. Europe. I've been up for 24 hours,
yep.
So you might hear that in my voice.
Little jet lag, probably. But you know what? You had your high levels of manliness to be on the show. You took one for the team, sacrificing.
Yep.
And what else is there?
Yeah, not much else except some beverages, some man gear. We have some things to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show and you checked us out on either iTunes, you caught our podcast, or Instagram, or Facebook, or now YouTube, this video will be on YouTube now. If this is your first time, welcome. We do three things every show. We do a man beverage. We open, rejoice, and review a man beverage. And actually, today we're going to have two man beverages. And then we talk about a man gear, something that every man should have or need throughout their day or week and be aware of. And then we talk about a man topic. And our goal really is to bring out the virtues that Catholic men need in a daily life, especially in a secular world where they're standing up, they're being countercultural to today's secular society, and just encourage men to be better husbands, to be better fathers, to be bold, to be holy, to live Catholic mm-hmm. every day.
Yep. Amen.
So let's talk about friends of the show for a second, because mm-hmm. it's a really easy thing to talk about because you're one of them.
I am. I remember you guys were on one of the episodes, you were saying if you want to tune into the – you. become a friend of the show and tune in and hear some more
extra content.
Yeah, and it was on Jesus and the Eucharist, and which I end after that show, I ended up reading that book. So I, you know,
it's great
being a
it?
Friend of the show. I've learned so much. So I'm sort of fanboying here in this studio right now with you right now.
Dude, no, but it's awesome because it's really cool to have this community of guys. I mean, that's really what the Friends of the Show is to have a community mm-hmm. of guys that are like-minded. We give extra content, but we also, you know, have a closed Facebook group that we post to reviewing different drinks or something inspirational. We send out Glencairn glasses. These.
I'm jealous of the guy who got the Our Lady painting,
oh,
or the
yeah.
mosaic, or what?
Yeah,
it was a
painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Our Lady of Guadalupe that Jeremy Maddock sent to mm-hmm. us.
Yep.
He's a fan of the show, and he sent it to us to give away. So
I even emailed you personally saying, hey, I don't know, is there a drawing, or how is this being picked? How are you guys picking this?
Yeah, we just randomly do it. Google picks it for us. So, but we do that, but we also just send, like you said, regular like extra content and extra gifts to the people. And how you become a friend of the show is you go to breadboxmedia.com, you click on the Friends of the Show tab, and you donate at least $10 a month, mm-hmm. and that covers really just our cost to get these awesome Glencairn glasses out to you, mm-hmm. and some of the extra stuff that we provide. So let's jump into our man beverages, because we have two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this first one down here. Or I'm going to grab this one. I'll let you grab this one.
But I need you
to open it.
Both these, because you're your manly...
the man ring. Boom.
Is it Carbide? What is
Carbide?
Carbide.
Tungsten carbide.
Yeah, I was, because I have this, like, totally unmanly ring.
Well, that would not, that would scuff up big time.
Yeah, and then I have this one.
Yeah, that's there for life.
Yeah, I have a tattoo on this hand, which has a funny story about it. Maybe we can get to that later. But
so tell us what we're drinking. Tell us what this is.
This buddy of mine and his buddy, friend of a friend, real close buddy of mine, they started this company called Tractor Soda, so we have a non-alcoholic beverage to begin with. Tractor Soda is non-GMO, organic. It's the quality, the care, the attention that goes into it. It's craft soda.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
meaning small batches, right?
Small batches, yeah. We should define our terms here, right?
And mm-hmm.
make our distinctions.
Yep.
This is
no fallacies on this show.
No fallacies. Yeah. If you're tuning in last week, you'll understand about all of the ad hominem and all the.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's organic soda. It's really good. I actually was privileged to watch this sort of grow into what it is, right into this beautiful little bottle. Cool logo. My son is 3 years old.
Right.
Tractor is like his first word, so it was kind of, you know.
Oh, dude, my
boys
love
around.
The tractors.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we drive by tractors at, like, you know, a construction site, and we have to stop,
yep.
you know.
Yep, I feel you.
So I was privileged enough to taste some of the first batches of this stuff, and they were, you know, making them for fountain drinks and being bottled, and there's different ways to go about doing that, and it's just the process is beautiful when you do it, when you approach it organically and like in the small batches and stuff. There's no pesticides that like rot your teeth and
right.
Not to mention the
guys
stomach.
that invented it are Catholics. They're manly men.
Yeah.
They have like 11 kids between them.
No, they have.
Isn't
I
that
think
right?
11 plus 8, so
oh.
19.
Wow. Okay.
Them. He was saying that they don't have to hire any employees.
Yeah, so they're set.
Yeah,
so let's try this.
Set.
I have the cherry cream. Which one do you have?
I have a root beer.
You have the root beer. All right. So without further ado, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
I've
Cheers to Jesus.
I wanted to say that. Cheers to Jesus.
Wow, that cherry cream is awesome.
Wow, root beer.
Now, yeah,
it's like real root. It tastes like it's supposed to taste, right? Sweet.
Yeah.
Birch.
So it's not like over sugary. You know, it's not like, you know, when like Coca-Cola mm-hmm. is like just like you can just taste a ton of sugar.
Oh yeah.
So it
well,
just
corn syrup.
Corn syrup. Yeah. Yeah. It's not
high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah. This cherry cream tastes really good. It's a it's like a cream soda with cherry in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the mixology, right?
Yeah.
We don't have a glass.
Do we have another glass?
I don't think we have
a
glass.
We can always rinse out.
Okay.
You want to try?
I'll let you do it. Because he said if you mix 50% cherry cream and then 50% root beer and try it, it tastes a lot like a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. So we're going to do
it. So try that.
So now we're mixologizing.
Yeah. With the Catholic Mancho Glencairn glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Does it taste just like
Did you guys send me mine yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine's in the mail.
Yours is at your house.
Wow. It does have like a Dr. Pepper taste. Dr. Pepper's actually my favorite soft drink. But now Tractor Mixology Cream Cherry Cream and Root Beer is now my new favorite.
Yeah, that is really good.
And
so how do we get it? So tell them about the Instagram, because their Instagram account is really cool, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of cool, you know, pictures and fresh fruits and stuff.
Because we're about to come up on our break. We have like 30 seconds.
Okay. Go to Tractor Soda Co. All one word on their Instagram, and you know it's a new soda. They're about to be distributed, and so you know,
check them out.
Google it, yeah.
And when we get back, we're gonna have to jump into this Lafroy. It's a special.
Oh yeah.
We've had Lafroy, but this is a special one. So stick around. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. On it.
I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Since I've been a Man Show fan and a friend of the show, I need to ask, what is that music from?
Dude, I had it made.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had it made for our show.
No way.
Yeah.
I was, every time I'm listening, I'm going, that is grooving so hard.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Yeah,
dude,
I
try to sit still and listen to that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. So, we didn't even get a chance to check out our other man beverage, so we're going to open that up. We're going to get right to that, because mm-hmm. it's one of my favorites. I know it's one of your favorites.
Definitely.
We're Scotch guys. I've actually heard from several of our listeners, like, but you guys really do a lot of Scotches, and mm-hmm. you're right, we do. We are going to branch out, but right now we're sticking with Laphroaig. We've had the Laphroaig 10. We've had the Laphroaig Quarter Cask. And now we're going to try the Laphroaig Select. Mm-hmm. And what the Laphroaig Select is, it's a, if you have tried the Laphroaig 10 and you thought, ooh, it's too much. It's too much for me. Mm-hmm. This one would be the one to start out with, because it's a little less peaty. It's
like a light, Laphroaig light.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Laphroaig light. It has, it's made with Oloroso sherry casks, but also in white oak casks and quarter casks and new bourbon barrels. So.
And also, if you'll notice, it's got less alcohol than the other two. So the quarter cask is what, 96 proof?
Yeah, that's true.
The 10 is 86, and then the select is 80 proof. So it's just the standard proof.
Has a nice, it's a little lighter color as well than like the quarter casks, probably because the quarter casks had the barrels, but the nose is a lot, it is less peaty, but you can definitely still taste it or smell it. What are your thoughts? Initial thoughts? Because this is your first time to have it.
Yeah, I'm a Laphroaig guy. I was introduced to Laphroaig as my first single malt scotch. That I was ever introduced to, so it's got a special place in my heart. But this is, I don't know, I love the 10, I love the quarter. This is actually really easy to
It's very smooth. Extremely smooth.
So smooth. It's like velvet.
You do get a little bit of a chocolate taste to it almost.
Whoa.
Do you have a little chocolate on your palate?
I think you guys are way more gooder at this than I am.
I do get a little chocolate on the palate. The afterwards.
I'm still sniffing.
Yeah, the afterwards it doesn't stay as long as like the quarter casks or the tin. It's not near as like peppercorny at the end. Didn't have as near much bite. It's very smooth. So if this is if you've tried Lafroig 10, you're like, Adam, Dave, this is not you know something that I like. Maybe try the Lafroig Select to start out with because it is extremely smooth. It does have a little bit of that smoky, peaty taste. But it does not bite near as much.
Now, I would never do this myself, but I have found if there's a scotch that's a little too strong, you can always throw like a small ice cube in it to kind of mellow it out. You might need some training wheels.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because some drinks are an acquired taste, you know?
Right, absolutely. In fact, we have a scotch enthusiast, a buddy of ours, Dave and I's buddy, who has Glacier water specifically for scotches. So it's like purified water from glaciers.
Wow.
And that's what he uses. So
which pole? Is North Pole or the South Pole?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'll have to ask him.
Or Greenland or
yeah, I don't know.
Canada?
But so Tractor Company mm-hmm. is what we had on our first break. Our
yep.
second break is Lafroig Select.
Yep.
Really good scotch.
I think we might have to ABC these other ones too as we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Through the show here
sure.
today.
Sure. Because we did bring the Lafroig 10 and the Lafroig Quarter Cask with us. We're Lafroig fans.
Yeah.
So let's dive into the man topic.
Let's do it.
Because this was super easy for me to pick out with you being a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted
and
to
you
do.
You being a guitar player.
Or, you know, I make noise on the guitar for sure. but we wanted to highlight just musical instruments in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that musical instruments are extremely important to have kids grow up playing
mm-hmm.
Because, one, they catch on a lot quicker. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I picked up the guitar in college, and it took me a lot longer to play licks and progressions compared to a buddy who's been playing for, you know, his whole life.
Yeah.
So they pick them up a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. But talk about, Miley, talk about the determination, talk about, like, the courage that you have to have to play, especially when you start playing in front of people,
mm-hmm.
And the dedication that you have to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm. Well, to tie in, I'm going to tie in Tractor Soda with this topic.
Nice.
Because if you go to Justin, one of the Tractor Soda guys, he and his wife have a band called Hope and Justin, and they are just amazing. It's like, I don't know, 7-piece band. And
wow.
They got violin and guitars and mandolins and drums and percussion. And then you go to their house and there's instruments everywhere. There's 8 kids running around. And when you have all those instruments, like, you know, as a dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, providing all of those opportunities, just having, whether it's a cajon, you know, every kid wants to, you know,
yeah.
pound on a cajon is, if you don't know, it's a wooden box, basically. Cajon in Spanish is box. So, to mandolins, there's violins, basses, and all these, you know, mm-hmm. instruments all over the place, and it affords the opportunity. And then, when everybody's playing together,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, togetherness, you know,
yeah,
it brings
unity.
People, music,
yeah, community,
yeah, unity, community, it brings people together, and, I mean, music is a, sort of the soundtrack, literally, of our lives, you know, and so, I mean, my life growing up was full of music, and
when did you start playing the drums?
I learned how to play you know, the basic, like, Billie Jean groove when I was four.
Okay.
And I learned it on my, you know, on my pants, you know, my hands on my legs. Like. And I got a kit when I was nine. And so I mean, music is a sort of a visceral, I mean, it goes back, you know, all the way through our history, I think, as as humans, all the way back when we evolved from primordial soup out of nothing, you know, because something always comes from nothing, you know.
Right, that I mean, makes logical sense. Yeah. That
Sorry.
You know what I love to do? I'm going to steal this from Dave. With Dave not being here, you know, I know that you guys are used to your daily dose of humility with him, because he, you know, his humility is known worldwide. But he did give me, when we were growing up together, he gave me a great, he told me something that stuck, and I think his dad told him. But he always told me, learn two songs to as many instruments as you can.
Hmm.
And he said the reason why is because when you get together with a bunch of people or something like that, if you sit down and play the piano and you play a song, maybe play an encore, and then you sit down and you play the guitar, maybe play a song or two, and then you get on the drums or the bass or the recorder or, I mean, whatever it is, people are like, man, this guy is good at music. And really, you just know a couple songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a lot of fun to play, and you can always be a part of it if an instrument gets broken out.
Dave's dad sounds like an overachiever. You know, I've actually always wanted to be a multi-instrumentalist, and I just ended up sticking with the drums. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a degree in music, so when you go to university, you have to learn mallets and, you know, vibraphone, marimba, timpani, all that stuff. I learned steel drums and Brazilian drums, African drums, Middle Eastern drums, and so, but it was all drums, and I passed piano proficiency, so that was an accomplishment. And I can play a few chords on the guitar, but learning two songs—that's actually a great idea. I'm going to tell my son that.
There you go. Yeah, definitely. And I'm definitely going to put a guitar in front of my sons and a couple other instruments, as many as I can, really, to have them learn it, because it really does, it takes practice, right? You know, mm-hmm. if you're a guitar player, it takes a long time to build up the calluses on your fingertips, mm-hmm. and if you don't continue practicing, you know, those calluses go away, and then your fingers get torn up. Probably the same way with drums, right? You don't practice your drums, your chops get sloppy.
Well, I always compare music to sports, too, and mm-hmm. so it's just like throwing the ball.
Right.
If you want to be a pitcher, you have to work on arm angle, and you have to work on arm angle without a ball, and then you actually throw with a ball, and then you do it at a certain amount of feet. And I mean, there's technique and there's commitment and mm-hmm. all sorts of things to get good at an instrument. It's actually a very manly thing.
For sure, absolutely. Know? So this is going to actually bleed into our regular topic. Our topic's going to be the sacredness of music. So on this other side of the break, we're going to dive into that. We're on the Lord's team.
Raise our glass to Dave.
To Dave, whose wife is like in labor right now.
Right now,
as we speak.
Probably, baby is like
possibly on its way.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely. There's not possible. Maybe it is going to be on its way.
And we don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
No.
So it is being probably washed right now, and possibly.
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, he could be cutting
the umbilical cord, and he said he's going to try to do that this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to try to cut the umbilical cord.
I wanted to catch. I should mention, I just had my wife. I didn't just have. That wouldn't be very manly, would it? My wife, my beautiful wife, just gave birth to our daughter, Arabella Therese, in honor of the new Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Yep.
Who's named after Saint Therese de Lisieux and Teresa de Avila. So, yeah, and she was born 4 weeks ago. So I know that I'm like right out of that feeling, and I cut the cord. I wanted to catch her, but our midwife, who's awesome, there wasn't complications, but it was actually, praise the Lord, very smooth. But
nice.
But I wasn't able to catch.
Now, would your wife say that it was very smooth? It may have been very smooth for you.
It was half the time of Jacob, my 3-year-old son. So, it was smoother.
Okay. So hey,
like this
Lefroy. Hey, I'll cheers to you for and all new dads
and,
out there.
And to Dave, yeah.
And to Dave. So we're drinking. To recap, we're drinking Lefroy Select. It's kind of it's a softer scotch mm-hmm. compared to the other Lefroigs. We also enjoyed some Tractor Soda, which is all organic, awesome company. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then we just got done talking about some musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to jump into the man topic. And when we talk about the man topic today, which is the sacredness of music, I wanted to get one question out of the way for you, out of the way, because this is like a personal question that I had. On you, as you're a professional drummer, is there a way, like, do you at some point when you're playing that you're able to like get out of the mo or like stop thinking about it and just like be, or like what do you think about, like, can you ever get into that moment where you're not like thinking about the next, you know, I guess progression or whatever the terminology is, like what are you thinking about?
Well, it's in training, like as you're growing up and learning, and then university, obviously, like you're kind of overtrained there, but you're a good teacher will, I've read it, I've seen it, I've heard it from many people, you learn it and then you forget it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It comes instinct.
You learn all the technique. I've practiced, you know, I've put my 10,000 hours like the Outliers, you know, with the metronome and doing rudiments and stuff, and so that when I get on stage, I can be free. I can be open to...
just the moment?
Yeah, open to the moment, open to what's happening. Specifically with Rival Sons, we don't play the same song the same way twice. So we're not playing to click tracks. You know, it could be Jay, my singer, might have had a Red Bull before we go on, and tempos are a little faster. I could have had a Red Bull or whatever, you know.
Right.
Or we're on, you know... 24-hour
sleep depravity.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, fresh off a plane with jet lag sleep, you know, or whatever. So tempos are going to be different. Everything's the venue's different. The crowd is different. I mean, it's completely organic, non-GMO, you know,
so
fresh ingredients.
Something we should have done at the beginning, and I'm just a terrible host, so forgive me, but mm-hmm. how can our listener get in touch with your band?
Oh,
Rival Sun, like
Google Rival Sons, and if you forget that, we're the opening band for Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
on their world tour. So a lot of Catholics cringe at that sometimes, but there's a good explanation for it. So we're on that tour. It's their final tour, and you know, it's an honor, privilege to be opening for those guys. They're legends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. I mean, they're the godfathers of like modern metal, you know. But
right.
If you listen to the early stuff, it's really bluesy, and all of Tony Iommi's guitar solos and his riffs are really, really bluesy. I mean, there's harmonica on the first album, and they're singing about spiritual warfare, and they're siding with the good side. So, I mean, yeah, they're singing about Satan and demons and, you know. And all this stuff. I mean, War Pigs is about the military industrial complex, and they're singing against darkness. They're not for darkness. So,
right.
So that's the Sabbath disclaimer there.
Okay.
But
so let's jump into the sacredness of music. I want to give like this picture of what a revelation that I had one time at our cathedral. We have a beautiful cathedral, and there's organ there, and some awesome singers there. And I was, it was during communion, or right after communion, and man, the guy was just wailing on the organ, right? And I mean, it was just climbing to the climax of the song, and the harmonies of the cantors was just spot on. I mean, it was building up, and I think everybody can relate to that one moment in a song or in a moment where the climax hits, and like it's to that point where it becomes spiritual. Like you get goosebumps, your hair stands up on the back of your neck. Mm-hmm. You just have this spiritual moment, almost like out of body experience. Mm-hmm. And whenever that happened to me, it clicked with me that could be a slice of what it's like in heaven. That could be a slice of the ecstasy of being in heaven, mm-hmm. in front of the beatific vision. You know, we hear in the Bible the angels saying, holy, holy, singing, holy, holy, holy,
yep.
Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. I mean, we hear that in the mm-hmm. Bible. And, you know, if we get that little glimpse of that moment here mm-hmm. on earth, think about what it would be like in heaven.
Oh yeah,
right. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's fleeting here on earth, right? And
right.
So it's like a snapshot. It's like a slide under, you know, in the microscope. The what do you call it? The thing you put on the slide,
yeah,
under
the
microscope.
Specimen.
The little glass thing.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh yeah.
Skinny. Anyway, it's microscopic. It's skinny, thin. It's just a taste of that. I mean, I know from experience, playing music, you can experience that when you do allow that when you forget yourself, you know, mm-hmm. when you get out of your own way. And you let, you know, the spirit, so to speak. I've played a lot of gospel music as well, and when you feel the spirit in the room, you know, and you can feel it in the audience. I mean, even in you know, I play rock and roll, and it's mostly secular, but I mean, our lyrics aren't about partying and
right.
you know, girls and stuff, and you know, worldly, mundane kind of things. So I mean, the opportunity is there to open yourself up to that kind of glory.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, I mean, anything we're going to experience here on earth, as amazing it is, it's like 20 minutes later you're
right.
your car won't start in the parking lot, you know?
Right, yeah.
Or you can't find your car in the parking lot.
Right, exactly.
And I mean, I'm referring to a concert. I mean, being a church is a whole other thing, but it's music has always been that thing that kind of takes you out of the world,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, and it does bring you into a heavenly realm.
Yeah, I mean, and I love that image of just being able to have a little slice of what you know the angels are doing all day, you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing over and over again. You know, it says in the Bible over and over mm-hmm. again.
All day.
All day. All day.
All day, all night.
Yeah.
Avio eternity. How do you? What's the word for the angels? Avio eternity.
So let's talk briefly just about how. Man, we're not gonna probably have time. Let's try it anyway. Music is such a storytelling. It is a medium of storytelling. You know,
mm-hmm.
even in the Old Testament, we hear over and over again how the Psalms and things like that are a way of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
How does music today, do you think, help storytelling? Do you think I'm kind of anti a lot of music, modern music today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think computers have kind of ruined some of the music. Like you had mentioned just a minute ago, how
mm-hmm.
A lot of lyrics are just bad. I mean, mm-hmm. it's immoral and
mm-hmm.
it's very uncreative. But how can music today still point us towards the glory of God? How is that working in today's society?
Goodness gracious. Well, there is a lot of bad music, and I think there's a lot of good music too. Mm-hmm. You know, there it is out there because there's such a high volume. Anybody can just put anything up on Spotify or YouTube,
right?
Or Bandcamp or SoundCloud. You know, all these mediums through which you can release music, and so. But there's a lot of good, like, singer-songwriters, you know, mm-hmm. more like kind of mellower music where the lyrics are really great. There's,
can you believe that?
There's groovy blues music like this right now.
Yes. Yeah. when we get back, let's talk about bad music equals bad theology, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
And a little bit and a couple other things. So stick around. We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
Raise your glass.
Boom!
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
And make sure that it's a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass.
Yeah,
do it.
Actually, yeah. Wait, so, and my Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass is empty.
Well,
so
we have three different Lefroys for you to choose from.
This is a is good jet lag medicine. Always in moderation.
Always in the virtue of moderation, yes.
Yep.
So Pope Emeritus Benedict is the one who coined the "We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass." That's where we took it from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's how we actually we
I thought
used
you guys
that.
Were extremely clever.
No, we're not.
it completely burst the bubble.
But we did do the cheers to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that was our cheers
to Jesus.
Our toast.
Cheers to Mary, Our
and
Lady
yes.
of Guadalupe, who I'm going to see next week.
Yeah, you're going
Praise
there.
Lord.
That'll be awesome.
I know. I'm going.
Hashtag the benefits of being in a rock and roll band.
Yep. Hashtag. Yeah, I'm gonna be in Buenos Aires. I'm going to Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo, Santiago, Cordoba, Mexico City, and Fort Worth.
I don't know how you keep up with all that. That's ridiculous. I don't know how you could keep up with all that.
Yeah, I used to memorize our tour schedules, and then I just you met Pete today, our tour manager.
Yeah.
Like, once you get, we call him Punk Rock Pete. He's the best. And once you get somebody who just plans everything for you, you do get a little babied, you know.
Absolutely.
But you, when you get all these dates, you know, we're working probably 7 months out of the year, and so it can become a blur, and so it's good to have people kind of walking you through it. So
just a recap, our drinks for this week is Tractor Soda Company. Check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Super good organic soda.
Craft soda.
Yes.
Made in small batches. It's made by a family. Just a small group of people who really care about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Good ingredients.
Company.
Real bark in the root beer. I mean, real cola nuts in the cola. I mean, everything's real.
It's
so,
legit.
Yeah.
Also, our Lefroy Select is the man beverage as well. A great scotch. And then
is that
great
a first
scotch.
Two? Is that a first? Doing two different, completely different
we did do,
kind of beverages?
We did do two different beers. Remember the...
I mean, this is like a non-alcoholic soda.
So, this is the first non-alcoholic drink.
A super gnarly, smoky, peaty scotch. I mean, this is the first.
I'm going to call it the first. I mean, we're doing a lot of first things today. So, but our man gear was just musical instruments in general.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then our main topic, we're gonna dive back into the sacredness of music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk to you a little bit about just the sacred, you know, the lack or let me rephrase. No, there's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Let me sum up.
Yeah.
Back in the Middle Ages, the medieval times, you know, Catholics dominated art, music, architecture, And you can see those fruits because we have beautiful churches. We have amazing music. We have awesome art, you know, that is unique, that is beautiful.
Yep.
And we see those fruits. Now, for some reason, something happened where we've lost that identity. Mm-hmm. Of, and the Catholics are really trying to actually, our buddy Patrick Coffin, who does, you know, used to do the Catholic Answers Focus, really tried to grasp, you know, that bringing back the identity of Catholics, of being artists, being musicians, taking that role back.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened? Do you
could sum it up.
Okay.
What happened? Martin Luther, Descartes, Francis Bacon, David Hume.
David Hume, like a lot of those are from David Hume.
Well, like
a lot of that music is.
Well, I just think that the Enlightenment happened, and I mean the church was the center of civilization, and then so you see the complete opposite. The Christ has been taken out of Christendom, so there is no more Christendom. We're purely secular. You go across Europe. I live in Europe.
A lot of pagans.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Estonia part of the time, and I think it's 87% non-believing, not necessarily atheist, but non-associating with...
The with nuns.
The nuns, yeah.
N-O-N-E-S.
Yeah, and so once you remove, I mean, this is just my theory. I mean, we've kind of riffed off this before talking, but once you remove God from really any aspect of society, it becomes stale and clinical, and you know, like a hallway in a hospital, you know, like
yeah, absolutely,
it's got that smell, you know,
and you kind of see that in some of the architecture in churches today. Mm-hmm. You walk in and you're just like, this isn't pretty, this isn't beautiful, you know, this is our Lord's house. If anything, it should be gorgeous, right? It should when you walk in and you see a church, it should orient you towards God, and it should orient you to that mode and mind of prayer, and accompanied by the music. When the music comes in, it should orient you towards God, orient you towards prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's
why I mentioned Martin Luther as well, because I mean, beginning with the Reformation, you just have the removal of all the beautiful stuff, you know, as seen as you know, extraneous, you know, and as being a Protestant. A convert to the church from being like a non-denominational Christian, you know, my vantage point before that was like vestments and sacraments and all the mints, you know, all these extra things. Like, what are all these things and incense and
right?
Now I'm just like, praise the Lord for all these things, you know. Once you understand them.
Because we're human beings, and we have senses, right? Mm-hmm. And when you walk into the church, you see beauty, you hear beauty, you can smell beauty, you can touch beauty.
Yeah.
I think the Catholic Church does a great job of connecting with all those senses to help you orient you towards prayer and worship.
Mm-hmm. And truth, beauty, and goodness, you know, are three things you
can't ever get enough of.
You don't see in like popular music, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that in the stuff that's being promulgated on the airwaves. And I mean, then you have like metal music and you have death metal, and I mean, there it's actually like an embracing of, you have Madonna like, you know, crucifying herself on an upside, you know, like just stuff that's happening. It's literally removing,
it's becoming blasphemy.
Yeah. Well, blasphemy is pop.
Yeah.
It, you know,
a lot of it is. Yeah.
So
what do you say? Let me ask you this. Let me throw this out at you. This is something that we didn't talk about before, so I'm throwing you a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say to dads out there that are worried about their, you know, getting their son involved or their daughter involved in a musical instrument because of the perception of a rock and roll or rock and roll band, and you know, they don't want them to go down that path. But you know, what do you say to those? What do you say to those dads?
Send them to dental school.
No.
no. I would say is no matter what the passion the kid has, whether, you know, whatever they're driven towards, you gotta instill virtue, and critical thinking. I think you were talking about that last week.
Right.
These old traditional things like right. virtue, ethics, morals.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it? Right.
If you and you. And you lead by example by, you know, praying with your family and doing all of those non-musical things. Mm-hmm. If they take up an instrument, then, you know, you don't.
You have a foundation for them.
Yeah, you're not worried that they're gonna, they're gonna have that foundation.
Right.
You know.
So
that's what I would say. I'm a new dad. I'm a new Catholic. So, you know, I don't want to stand up here, you know, on a soapbox, you know what I mean?
Right, like, right. But you know, dads, you can hear, you know, that if you take care of stuff, but if your kids are, their vocation is, you have to support them in their vocation, and whatever that vocation is, you make sure mm-hmm. that they have the tools that they need to carry out that vocation, which mm-hmm. is the foundation, and making sure that they have a solid prayer life, and making sure that family mm-hmm. is important, and making sure God is important in your community, yep. and so. If you instill and give them all those stuff, regardless of what their vocation is,
mm-hmm. yeah.
they're going to be able to be
foundation.
Successful.
You build, you help them to build their house on a rock and not on sand.
Right.
And yeah, that so. And the primary vocation, it begins. The apex is to God. You know, then it's to family, right? And then
yeah, then God, family, then community.
Then it's your job, you know. Like, I mean, your job is kind of down the list,
right?
But that doesn't demean or demote your job into, you know. I think loving your work is like work is not like the toil is not a curse, you know. That it's the weariness, right, yeah. of the toil that was the curse, you
right.
know.
And being of this world, but not, or being in this world, but not of this world.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that's kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So Miley, tell them real quick how they can get a hold of you if they want to touch base with you.
I'm on Facebook under Michael Miley, and the band is Rival Sons. So it's Facebook/Rival Sons or Twitter/Rival Sons. All of it /Rival Sons.
Bro, I'm really glad that, yeah. that you took the time. I'm grateful,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for picking me up from the airport.
Yeah, no problem, man. You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We had some LaFroid Select. We also talked about musical instruments and the sacredness of music. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Thanks, brother. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Guys.